The harder the struggle, the more glorious the triumph. Swami Sivananda.
Like my emotion is pretty low. I'm flat, you know, not excited, because this is like really normal thing to me. I'm not, you know, super excited by those things, because, you know, it's kind of, it starts to become your, you know, natural thing, you know. Okay, you know, it was a nasty storm on, you know, 13,000 feet, and it was lightning. Yeah, it was scary, you know. And people are like, "Whoa, tell me more," you know. And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, some lightning was there, so we had to go down not to get killed." And you know, they cannot grasp that, so they're like, "How can you be so calm?" Like, yeah, that's, you know, you have to be a little bit crazy. So yeah, they think I'm a little bit crazy.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute to help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guest, who wears many hats. He is a thru hiker, a documentary filmmaker, a writer, an adventurer, and the creator of the Croatian Long Trail. Welcome back to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Nikola Horvat. How's it going, Nikola?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me once again.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were on, I think it was season 2. So it's a couple seasons ago. And we talked about your PCT through hike, and also your excellent documentary short that was on YouTube. Why do I hike?
Yeah. Now almost on 2 million views. So it's going good.
Fantastic. And we're going to circle back to that in just a little bit, and just kind of remind folks about what that was all about and where they can find it. But in the meantime, I know that you picked up a trail name on your PCT through hike. Why don't you remind us what that trail name is?
Yeah, it's Tesla. So it was a day at Casa de Luna, one hiker asked me, like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "I'm Nikola from Croatia." And he was like, "Okay, you're Tesla from now on." And I was like, "Oh, really?" That's a bigger responsibility to carry Tesla, Nikola Tesla name, right? So I was like, "Okay, that's a good trail name. I like it. And then on the trail, when I said to people, like, "Hi, Tesla," you know, fist bump. And they're like, "Oh, like a car." So I was like, no, like a physicist. So after, I don't know, 20 times that somebody told me, like, "Oh, like a car," I was like, "Yeah, like a car."
You just gave in.
Yeah.
Easier.
So they were like, "Oh, you have a Tesla car." Back then in 2016, that was like pretty not usual like today. So I was like, "No, I don't have a car." And then later on, I was like, yeah, I have a Tesla car, right? If you want me to say it, why not, right?
Yeah, so for some of our younger listeners who may be listening in, who may be having the same conversation in their head, you know, Tesla, okay, it's a car. Just to give you context, Nikola Tesla was one of the great minds the world has seen, right? He was a physicist, an inventor. A lot of his ideas are in our world today. And Elon Musk, named his car company after Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, yeah. And he was born like maybe a 2-hour drive from my hometown. There is a village called Smiljan, and there is this house and its museum today. And he was born there in Christian Orthodox family. His father was a Serbian Orthodox priest, but living in Croatia. So he always was saying that he is like, he's a, proud of Serbian people and Croatian country. So he was like, he's like Croatian and Serbian pride, you know, there's something that connects us together. Right. And Croatia, a few days ago, we have a new currency. So euro, you know, we went from kuna to euro. And on our 1 euro coin, we have Nikola Tesla. So if you ever come to Croatia, you can find the euro and take it with you, like a big Nikola Tesla, you know, like, how do you say it? You know, something to carry home for
a souvenir.
Souvenir, yeah, like a good memory.
Right, right. Nice. All right. Well, hey, Tesla, you've been on the podcast before, so you are familiar with the structure of the podcast. We do have a segment towards the end called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week, and that's where you'll have a chance to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So,
Sure.
And before we get to our first segment, I had the chance to talk to another Croatian on the show. His episode just came out a couple of weeks ago, Igor Dortic.
Dortic, yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
No, I never heard about him. But when you told me about him, I was a little bit Googling. So yeah, good stuff. Good, interesting guy, definitely.
Yeah, he's the race director of the Adventure Race Croatia. And he was also a little bit familiar with you and your exploits over in Croatia. So small world.
Yeah, small country, Croatia it is.
small country. There you go.
The must bring gear review.
All right. So this may be new since the last time you and I talked. We've been doing a feature called the must bring gear review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company, Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you'd insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Tesla, when you're out there on the trail, what is that piece of gear that you have to have out there?
Well, there is several things, but my favorite piece of gear is my sleeping bag. So I would go with my Cumulus sleeping bag, Panyam 600. I carried it on a Continental Divide Trail, and it was, you know, doing the job really, really, really good. I was warm, so I like to be warm when I sleep, you know, and this sleeping bag was just, you know, making my trail nights, especially in the heights of Colorado, pretty good, comfortable. And I was like, you know, this is good stuff. So that's a Polish, a European brand. So it's pretty easy here in Europe to you know, to purchase it, no taxes and stuff like that, you know. So amazing product, and it's high quality. So I still have it and I still use it, and I'm satisfied with this sleeping bag of mine. Yeah. Okay. I would definitely recommend it to some newbies. Like if they go on a even like on a regular hikes, you know, 2-3 days, yeah, go for it. Cumulus is a good sleeping bag, and I love it.
Good stuff. Is it heavy? How much does it weigh?
No, it's not heavy. I don't know the pounds, but in kilos it's around 900 grams, and it's good looking, you know, materials are top notch. And when you buy the sleeping bag, there's a website and you can choose where do you want to put additional goose down, you know. So my feet get cold in the night, so I put additional down into the food box. You know, that part.
Nice.
So
smart.
If you want, you know, to put some other part of the bag, you can choose from fabrics, you know, different fabrics, and lighter, heavier, you know, more resistant or not. So it's a pretty good store and pretty good products. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Now here, this is the educational portion of the podcast for our listeners out there. Pay close attention. I'm always tickled when we have a European guest on and we go back and forth trying to figure out the measurements and the weights between the metric system and the imperial system. And so just doing some quick math in my head, you saw I didn't write anything down. I was just I was focused on you and what you were saying. But 1 kilo is 2.2 pounds, I believe. And so,
okay,
if 900 grams, a kilogram is 1,000 grams. So if it weighs 900 grams, then that's about 1.9 pounds is what it would
be. Okay. Weigh. Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
I think that's pretty good weight for a sleeping bag of that caliber, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the care of down products, down jackets, down sleeping bags. They require different care than synthetic fill.
Yeah, materials. Definitely.
Yeah. So how does that care differ?
You have to like wash it, not like regularly, like after every hike, because it will get ruined. So you need to wash it with some special formulas. You can buy, I don't know, Naquax or some other product that is specially designed for cleaning the down. You must not use the fabric softener. That's a no-go. And definitely you have to wash it in a big washing machines. Mm-hmm. The ones that are not like put down like this, you know.
Top loader.
Yeah, it's like a front loader.
Front loader, right.
Yeah, so it's go down and, you know, fall down. Mm-hmm. So you can put some tennis balls inside, let the sleeping bag or down jacket have a lots of room. So it's, you know, going around. It must not be like compressed into the washing machine. And afterwards, definitely you have to put it on some low cycle, low heat drying machine. And you have to dry it as much, as you need to, you know, to get dry as much as possible. And then you're good for a year or two. And then again, yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's expensive gear. And then you have some, you know, some doubts, should I wash it or not? But, you know, you have to do it after it gets pretty nasty after sleeping, I don't know, 100 nights. Uh-huh. in the sleeping bag or something like that. I was in Croatia. We have like this public laundry service, and I didn't know that. So they put automatically a fabric softener and some pretty bad cleaning powder. And I didn't know that. So I put it in, and later on I figure out nothing happened. My sleeping bag is still good. Nothing's destroyed. It's fluffy. It's clean. But I will not do it again. Next time, I will clean it without this automatic, without the fabric softener and some regular powder for cleaning.
Yeah. Right. Right. Now, and once you've got it clean and you've got, say, you know, 5-6 months before your next hike, you also should not store that down product in a compressed fashion. It should be
no kind
of hanging on a hook or something.
To
make sure you don't crush the down.
Yeah. I have two sleeping bags. I have three down jackets or four, and everything is just like hanging. And nothing is compressed. Don't do it. That will destroy the goose down inside. Yeah, definitely a good tip. Just let it be loose and just, yeah.
Okay. It's a good discussion right there.
Yeah.
It's the hiking pole.
All right, let's keep talking about gear. I've got a 7-question survey for you. Call it the hiking pole. And these 7 questions, Tesla, are going to help me score you on a scale from 1 to 100 on the sanity scale. Or, yeah, it's a sanity scale. With 1 being a score of 1 would be you're completely insane. And a score of 100 would be you're completely sane. You have to know that there's an automatic 25-point deduction before we even start. For anybody who has done a long trail, like the Croatian long trail, the PCT or the CDT. So already your highest score possible, Tesla, is 75.
I have a question.
Okay.
So is it good to be like lower on the scale or higher on the scale?
The lower you are on the scale, the crazier you are.
Oh, so we want to be crazy, right?
But yeah. I mean, some people wear it as a badge of honor. They're shooting for that low score. Others, you know, they're concerned with what people might think of them. So they're shooting for a high score. So it all depends on you, how you look at it.
Okay.
All right. So these 7 questions, they're all going to be hiking related. We're going to see which side of the issue you fall on with some of these questions. And this is a totally subjective scoring system. It's up to me on whether or not I agree with you.
Okay.
Because I'm the host. And it's my podcast. So
yeah.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
That's right. All right. Question number 1. Start with an easy one. Trekking poles or no trekking poles?
No trekking poles.
And why is that?
You need an explanation.
Yeah, because the explanation's good. It makes the hiking pole fun when the guest explains the answers.
Yeah. I was hiking Pacific Crest Trail with trekking poles, and it was kind of good. I loved it. But on Croatian long distance trail, I was carrying my camera. I started to film. And later on, on Colorado Trail, I started to use camera and tripod. And on Continental Divide Trail also. So there is no space for, you know, having something in my hands because that's just another thing to carry when I'm filming. And I'm filming a lot of times. So my trekking poles would be in my backpack, you know, and it's just another heavy thing to carry. So I just started in 2018 hiking without trekking poles, and I figure out I'm not falling down, you know, tipping over, you know, and, you know, something saves me, the trekking pole saves. No. I'm real on Continental Divide Trail. I never tripped down. I never fall down. And I didn't have any trekking poles. The same on Colorado Trail. My knees are doing great. Not problem. They're, you know, my tendons are super sturdy. You know, they're like good carrying my weight and my backpack weight. So I think I don't have need for trekking poles. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I first asked the question, trekking poles or no trekking poles, I thought you said, oh, yes, trekking poles, definitely. Did you say no trekking poles?
No trekking poles.
No trekking poles. Okay. I misheard you at first. I was waiting as you were doing your explanation. I was waiting for it to circle around back to why trekking poles are so important. It never came. So
no. Big X. Okay. No.
Got it.
They're good. I mean, it's a good thing to have it, but not me.
Yeah. So I imagine you don't have a trekking pole tent then.
I have a new Z-Pax duplex, mm-hmm. and I have a carbon fiber poles.
Okay.
They're collapsible, mm-hmm. and they're instead of trekking poles.
Got it.
Yep.
All right. Question number 2, what's on your feet out there? Is it boots or trail runners?
Trail runners, definitely. I use La Sportiva Wildcats, but this time on Continental Divide Trail, I was not happy. I don't know why. They were just too narrow all of a sudden. And I'm thinking of going in some other direction, like maybe try Hoka's or, I don't know, some other brand, because, you know, I was not happy with La Sportiva 100% for the first time. And, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll find some other brand or some other model of Las Sportivas. I don't know, but definitely trail runners. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think your foot got a little bit wider on that hike? I don't think the shoe got narrower. I think maybe your foot got a little wider.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I was just not super, maybe I was not paying too much attention about tying, you know, putting the right amount of tension in when I was tying him. So I don't know, but you know, if I go tomorrow and I have at home Las Sportivas Wildcats, I go with them. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about going for some other brand, just, you know, to see, just to feel more comfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number three. You already answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When it comes to shelter out there, are you a tent guy, tarp, hammock, bivy, or cowboy camp?
Yeah, tent. I'm a tent guy. I love my protection from bugs, mm-hmm. from, you know, wind, from rain. So no tarp, mm-hmm. maybe in the future, maybe. Mm-hmm. For now, it's a tent, definitely.
Okay. Also protection.
And I was, well, yeah, it's it's like a house. Yeah, so, right. I was a big Agnes user. I have Tiger Wall, but recently I went for a Z-Pack duplex tent. Yeah,
you're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it's super light, and I need to, you know, it just arrived, so I need to test it once the weather gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Now, do your neighbors know when you get a new piece of equipment because you're setting it up in the front yard, going to sleep in it on the front lawn for a couple of days?
Well, I live in an apartment. Oh, okay. So it's a public park behind my... So I didn't go down there. There are a lot of dogs and cats strolling around. So I don't want to, you know, put my tent in some dog poo or something. No. So it's kind of disgusting, you know. So my neighbors don't know nothing about it. But if they're following me on my YouTube channel, they know. Yep.
All right. Question number four. Again, you already answered this, but I want to hear a little bit more about it. Sleeping bag or quilt?
Sleeping bag. I never used quilt because I didn't have any chance to use it. I heard a lot of good things about it, but I never use it. If some brand, you know, wanna give it one to me, you know, just try it, review it, you know, for free, I would go for it. If my, I don't know, brother or good friend buy it, I would take it for a one trip, you know, just lend me so I can, you know, test it just once. And then maybe I will go. But I would not, you know, buy it before the sleeping bag, before I tried it, right? So it's a sleeping bag. I love it. I love, you know, this cocoon thing.
Right.
I love the warmth of sleeping bag, and yeah, it's kind of my way of camping, sleeping bag.
Okay. Question number five, I believe we're on. When it comes to food out there, do you carry a stove? Do you cold soak, or do you go stoveless?
I used to have, and I have at home, a little titanium pot and stove and everything, gas. But on my last hike on Continental Divide Trail, last big hike, I was just carrying so much stuff that I almost injured myself big time. And I said, okay, now I go ultralight or I don't go at all. So I went on one trip near my hometown here in Croatia with some client. He wanted me to, you know, to take him on 3-day trip to teach him some basics of camping and being in wilderness. So we went there and I was just like super light, you know, I was no stove, no pot, nothing, just cold soak in some plastic container, you know, and that's the way I'm going in the future. So it's no stuff. It's a cold soak from now on.
Wow. When we're talking about the sanity scale, I mean, cold soakers, that's a point deduction right there. I mean, there's something different about cold soakers. So if you're hoping to score low, you're doing a great job.
Yeah. Now, when you ask the questions, I'm like, oh, yeah, this one's not good for me, right?
All right. Question number six. Is life better above or below the tree line?
Oh, this one is a tough question. If you're in Colorado, then life sucks above tree line most of the time. But I love being out there. I love being up in the mountains. But I don't like spending the nights there because of the winds. High winds, exposure, cold. It's cold, right? So if we go like for a hiking, definitely above the tree lines. But if you're going on a spending the night, then definitely below the tree lines. But there is another thing here. When you're not surrounded by trees, the tree cannot fall on your head, on your tent. And that's a big thing, because I was hiking in Colorado multiple times and I was always afraid of tree killing me, right? So the worst thing that can happen on the summer ridge is that you will be blown away, but you will survive, right? And down there, you can get killed by the tree. So I don't know. This one is tough. But views and everything is up there, and yeah. I will go for above tree lines.
Okay. All right. And that part about trees falling, I mean, that is the thing. It happens. We were actually in the Sierras this past summer on the High Sierra Trail. And we were hiking. There's four of us. And there was, I don't know, probably 25, 30, 35 yards in between each one of us. And I was pulling up the rear and the guy in third position, we heard a sound above, like this crackling sound. And he started running. And if he had froze, if he had just stood there, he would have been hit by a deadfall of a tree branch about 8 feet long. And about, I don't know, probably 8-10 inches in diameter. I mean, it just came crashing down out of nowhere, right onto the trail where he'd been standing. So it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. When I was hiking a Colorado trail in 2019, one hiker died. She was in a tent and the tree just fell on her. She died. And that was a bummer. And when I was hiking, you know, somewhere in the wilderness, it was not so near me, maybe 100 feet away, but I heard it, you know, crackling. You can feel the ground trembling when it fell down. So it was a big tree and it was scary, you know, because okay, I'm sleeping in this forest. And this on CDT this year, I mean in 2022, it was also some scary moments, because you're, you know, in the forest, no living tree for, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of feet around you. You cannot pitch your tent nowhere where there is no tree, just dead trees all over the place. And I was just like, you know, in the wind, in the storm, and everything's going bad around you, you know, it's just bad overall feeling. And you know, at some point you just need to go into the tent and, you know, say your prayers. And you know, if it happens, you know, dang it.
Sounds like some type 2 fun right there.
Yeah, yeah. No fun, definitely. And in Colorado, a lot of dead trees. So it was sketchy, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 7. Last question in the hiking poll. What's more important, pack weight or luxury items?
Good question. Another tough one. Before, I would say luxury. But now I will go for weight. Wait. Okay. Yeah, because I had a really tough time on Continental Divide Trail. People were watching me, other hikers, and they were like, "You're crazy, man." And I was like, "I know, but you know, nobody will film this movie. I have to do it. I have to carry all of this shit." So I had like 5 kilos of filming gear. So you can maybe put it in pounds. You're better at it.
It's 11 pounds, I believe.
11. So some hikers have like 11 pounds or 10 pounds of base weight.
Right, right.
So I was carrying another one's base weight atop of my own backpack. So it was really tough, and I was having a really tough time, especially in Colorado. And when I came home, I even, you know, when I was still in Wyoming, I said like, no way, man. I'm quitting the true hiking. I'm done. So that was my state of my soul, you know, of my...
That's how bad it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. And then, you know, when I came to, and, you know, a few months later, I was like, okay, not so bad, not so bad. Take it easy, but go light, Nicola, and everything's going to be better. So, yeah, definitely weight top of luxury items.
So Tesla's been converted to an ultralight backpacker now.
Yeah, from super heavy one, because I was, you know, doing, I mean, you will see the movie. I think it's a pretty unique piece of work. I think there's no hiking movie that's addresses this topic of hardships, and I think I did a great job. I don't want to be, you know, humble and say, maybe it's good. No, this is a good movie.
Oh man, I can't wait.
I did a really good job. I did a lot of effort and a lot of love I put into this project, and I'm proud how it turned out. The music for the documentary is all originally made for the movie by my friend and colleague. He's a musician, professional. And he did amazing job. Music is stunning. When you hear it, you'll be like, wow. So, you know, great shots, good story. Atop of that, stunning music and some good storytelling. So, you know, it was worth it, you know, to carry all of that gear and to make a sacrifice. My true hike was suffering from because of that. I didn't finish the trail. I finished my trail on a border with Wyoming. When I said that's enough, I need to keep my physical health, you know, good. I must not injure myself. So, you know, if I wasn't filming and doing that, I would make it to the end. But this was just too much. But in the end, everything turned out well.
Okay. Now, why do I hike? The first one was just amazing. It was fantastic. Are you saying that this one is even better?
Yeah, this is a better movie.
Wow. Okay.
Definitely. Definitely right. Better movie. It has 85 minutes. So it's longer, you know, more meat inside, you know, more stuff.
Right.
It has 6 chapters. I'm talking about heat, water, discomfort, mountains, loss, and breakdown. So I have some other hikers, you know, telling their stories inside, and a lot of pretty good filming stuff, you know, drone shots. I was carrying really good, I mean, I have it here. Mm-hmm. I was carrying this thing with me, right? So this is really heavy. This is a stereo microphone. Mm-hmm. This is a big lenses and GH5 Lumix camera. Yeah. So this is pretty heavy. It was in my hands all the time with tripod.
For those of you who are listening and not watching, he's holding up a very nice heavy camera with a microphone mounted on top of it.
Yeah, and it was all the time along with the tripod, and I was carrying in my hand. Mm-hmm. Because if you put it in a backpack and you see something interesting, you're just too tired and too lazy put the backpack down, take the camera and then film it. No, you have to carry it in the hands. So I was carrying it all the time, filming stuff, you know, trying to capture all the hardships and things that are, you know, mm-hmm. coming in front of me when I was hiking this really, really tough trail.
Yeah. Now, Tesla, I know we've been talking about the film. We're going to get back to that a little bit. I think you've been going on about the film because you don't want to hear your score on the hiking pole. But I've got to do some math here. We've finished our questions. Let's get you a score. Stand by. I do some math. I got to carry the 3. We're going to divide by pi. Going to multiply that by √3. And we're going to make a slight adjustment for a windy day on the coast of Croatia, and I come up with a score of 37.
Oh, 37, craziness.
Yeah.
So that's more crazy than sane.
Oh, yes, yes. Substantial. Yeah. Yeah.
I think your poll is good because, people usually think I am a little bit crazy, so this is a little bit crazy score. So good calculation
family,
here.
Friends and family would hear the score of 37 and say, yeah, that's about right. That's
yeah, like yeah, it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just, on a lunch just a few hours ago. And, we met this, my girlfriend and myself, we met this, her friends in this pizza place. And I went on the toilet, and when I was there, they were like, can we ask him about his trips? Because they know, you know. And my girlfriend is like, yeah, you can ask him, you know. So I get back, and they're like starting asking questions. So I'm talking about my adventures, you know, and about my cougar encounter, black bear encounters, you know, wolf encounters, crazy storms, stuff like that. So, and I'm speaking pretty, you know, like my emotion is pretty low. I'm flat, you know, not excited, because this is like really normal thing to me. I'm not, you know, super excited by those things, because, you know, it's kind of, it starts to become your, you know, natural thing, you know. Okay, you know, it was nasty storm on, you know, 13,000 feet, and it was lightning. Yeah, it was scary, you know. And people are like, "Whoa, tell me more!" You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, it's, you know, some lightning was there, so we had to go down not to get killed." And you know, they cannot grasp that, so they're like, "How can you be so calm?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's, you know, you have to be a little bit crazy." So yeah, they think I'm a little bit crazy, and yeah, it's fun thing to, you know, to see that when people think you're crazy.
Absolutely. You know, Alex Honnold, do you know who he is?
Yes.
Free climber, right?
Crazy guy.
He's really crazy, right? But I was just reminded of him when you spoke about this, because you have to imagine, I mean, if you watch Free Solo, he's up there on the side of that mountain with nothing. He's up climbing El Capitan with nothing. And he is so calm and not flustered, very steady. And you have to wonder yourself, you know, what gets this guy excited? I mean, what makes him scared? If that doesn't scare you, I mean, what in the world would scare you?
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching that movie in a plane when I was flying to San Francisco. And I remember thinking, like, this guy, he has some emotional, you know, that Chinese guy, emotional damage. Something's not right with this guy. I mean, in a positive way, not in a negative way, because he makes the maximum out of it, right?
Yeah.
He's going through this grueling excitements, and he's like super cold, you know, and making his, you know, mind focused, and he's like, okay, I'm doing this, or I'm not doing this now, I'll do it later. So yeah, he's one kind of a type of guy.
Yeah, he's built differently.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's something different.
Advantage, right? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and he deserves every penny and every you know, media minute of time. He deserves it. He's a great guy.
And I think I've said this before, I'm watching that movie in an IMAX theater. It's just this huge screen with a buddy of mine. And I know how the movie ends. I know that he does it, right? It's not a secret that he does it.
Yeah, yeah.
And still, I can barely watch the screen. I am so uncomfortable. And, you know, I've got my hands over my eyes. I'm looking through my fingers at some of these shots. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. I was watching and like, oh man, this is not easy to watch, man. This is something.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll do a quick recap of some of your past adventures. I know we've talked a little bit about your Continental Divide Trail hike from last year. We'll cover some more stories from there, but I really want to hear about Why Do I Hike 2, Hardships of a Thru Hike. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. This episode is sponsored by Jolly Gear. Are you tired of compromising between the ventilation of a button-down and the full protection of a sun hoodie? With the Triple Crown button-down, you can have the best of both. Plus, their fun standout patterns will have you the talk of the trail. Visit them at jollygear.com. Thru-hiker owned, Jolly Gear, where fun meets functional.
And welcome back. We are talking to Nikola Horvat, aka Tesla. And we just went through the hiking poll, got some great answers, great score there for, I think, an appropriate score for Tesla. And we heard some stories along the way, which is great. Let's just remind our listeners, if they have not listened to your first episode on the podcast, they can go back and find it in season two. We talked about your PCT thru hike back in 2016. And I believe at that time, correct me if I'm wrong, Tesla, were you the first Croatian to complete the PCT?
Yeah, yeah. I was the first one in 2016. Mm-hmm. I started on April of 23rd. And I finished on 2nd of October that year. And it was an amazing and life-changing journey. Yeah.
And from that experience, you went back to Croatia and said, you know, we need to have something like this in our country.
And yeah.
To work.
Yeah. I was like, man, we have some beautiful mountains and beautiful hiking trails in Croatia. But if you want to hike for, I don't know, 2 months, no way. I mean, you could do it, but eventually you will get to the road. You always go to the road if you're like going, you know, for long, long hikes without certain, you know, track, certain trail. And I was like, okay, let's make some association. I will, you know, gather some like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And let's do this. So yeah, some 10 to 15 people fluctuated and we made it. And we made some like trails on a computer, on GPS maps. And we're like, okay, in 2018, I will do it. I will hike it. And I did it. I was recording my GPS track. And then we collaborated with Far Out app, got hooks at the time, and they said yes, and they took our GPS track, and now we have a Far Out app, our trail in the Far Out app, right? So you can purchase it. And from then, from 2018, the trail has changed a lot. Myself and my hiking buddies from association, we were like going back and forth in Croatia searching for better options, because sometimes you're on the road, you know, to connect two trails or two mountains. But in these 5 years, we've found really a lot of new trails, new exciting off-trail, off-road paths and trails that we incorporated into the Croatian long distance trail. So from the year to year, it's better and better. So I'm planning to hike it again, because this is now a completely different trail than in right. 2018. It's much better now. So I need to do it again. Yeah, definitely. I'll do it.
Nice. Now, in preparing for this episode today, I'll have you know, I did not go back and listen to the first episode that you're on, but I just know we had a very memorable conversation, and I have brought up one of the points that you discussed in our episode time and again with different guests, because sometimes the topic will come up of, you know, what is more difficult on a long hike? Is it the physical challenge, or is it the mental challenge of being out there? And when we first spoke, you and I, you had a very striking response to this. It really stuck with me, because you talk about the inner wilderness, being the inner wilderness of our minds sometimes can be more difficult than the outer wilderness. And I thought that was just a very poetic way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, the inner world is, you know, so rich with every human being. No matter how shallow he is, it's not shallow enough to be shallow. It's deep within everybody, within every human. So, you know, when you go through some grueling challenges, you definitely need to, you know, fight this mind of yours to keep, you know, to keep you on the trail. But on this true hike, I figure out, since I was carrying so much weight, I had really bad experience with my body. And this body issues, you know, this heavy backpack actually triggered my inner fights, you know, anxiety and stuff like that. So it was, you know, it was 50-50. battle. And this time, this physical aspect definitely took maybe even greater toll on me than even before on some other trails, you know. Mm-hmm. So this time it was kind of different. My friend came to hike with me in Colorado. He came in Creed. He joined me and we started to hike. And he's in a great shape, you know. He's a bigger guy and, you know, great shape. And I instinctively started to follow his pace.
Right.
You know, it's always about the faster one, you know. And I was pretty worn out because of the south of Colorado. It was full of snow and I was just wiped out, you know. And he came and I didn't want, you know, to make his, you know, hiking in United States for the first time, you know, I didn't want him to remember it like, you know, it was bad, you know, slow, you know. And so I was just, you know, pushing myself. After 20 days, we reached Grand Lake. And once we were there, he went home. And I continued to Steamboat Springs alone. And when I get there, I continued to Wyoming border. And then I said, okay, that's enough. I went down in Laramie and then back to Denver with my friend Chris. And we were like hanging around. And then we went to Steamboat Springs again with his car to make some interviews with my hiking buddies. They were there. People whom I've been hiking through all of New Mexico and some part of Colorado. So we went there. And then I figured out, man, this is Steamboat Springs. I was here 10 days earlier. So in 20 days, I left my hiking buddies 10 days behind me. Mm-hmm. So imagine the speed. Imagine the pace we had. We were killing the trail, man.
Right.
And it just wiped me out. I was just, you know, I was done.
Yeah.
So that was something, you know. And when I get home, I figure out that I have hernia, a little bit hernia.
Oh no,
on my belly.
Uh huh.
And but it's no big deal. It's not hurting. It's just a little, you know, bubble, nothing too big. But it made me thinking, you know, you need to take care of yourself. You know, don't injure yourself, man. Be careful. So this crazy rhythm of hiking with this crazy backpack of mine, it just killed all the joy of a true hike for me. So I had to leave earlier. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Now, why do I hike? The first one, you said it has over 2 million views on YouTube now?
Almost 2 million, yeah.
Almost 2 million. And I love the way it was structured. You broke up into different chapters. You had voiceover narration through each. Is why do I hike 2? I heard you mention earlier, you've similarly broken it up into different chapters, correct?
Why do I hike 1 or 2?
Two. You mentioned the different chapter titles earlier.
Yeah, six
chapter titles. And were those chapter titles colored by your experience on the Continental Divide Trail? I mean, did you take your experience on the CDT and that has kind of helped structure this why do I hike 2?
Well, yeah, when I started hike, I didn't have the clear idea what do I want to make. I knew that I need to make the film that is named Hardships of a True Hike, because when I was reading comments on why do I hike 1, most of the comments are like, oh great, amazing. There are some haters, of course, and then there's these people, they're like, come on man, true hiking is not this, it's not just so beautiful that you know portrayed it here. it's different. And I was like, yeah, you are right. But this is my point of view a few months after True Hike, you know, when everything's good. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, yeah, maybe I need to make a documentary about hardships. So I was like really determined to make documentary about these really hard times when you're having, you know, troubles, when you're thirsty, when you're cold, when you're tired and hungry, you know, when you're afraid. And I was just filming it. I was just filming, you know, whatever happened. If I was thirsty, I was filming it. If the water was shitty, full of cow shit and gross, I was filming it. You know, if it was snowy and I was post hauling, I was filming it. You know, whatever happened, I was filming. And when I came home, I took a break and then I started to edit the movie. And then it started just to form by itself. You know, that's one creative process that just goes when I'm working. You know, when I see all the materials, and then it just clicks. You're like, okay, this is good. This is good. Okay, I'll put this here. I'll put this here. And, you know, I just made these 6 chapters that I was thinking that, you know, this was the most challenging thing. Every true hiker that goes on any true hike will encounter these challenges, whether it's heat, mountains, you know, water, discomfort, you know, or some other. And I was just, you know, editing, and music was coming as I was I made the chapter, and then the music was composed. Then I put the music and I'm like, whoa, this is now the real thing. You know, when there is no music, it's like you're watching the movie without colors. You know, it's just black and white. And then the music lifts it up, you know. And this guy was the composer. He was following me on my trail, you know. We had a deal even before. So he was like following, reading my blogs. So he was just inspiring himself with my journey.
Yeah.
So when I come back, he'll just, all his emotions that he got from my journey, he'll put it in a guitar and piano, and he'll make the music. So he did the great job. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Have him fully immersed in your journey. So he just kind of soaks it all in, and then he can then create the right type of music to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing music. Mm-hmm. And it hits, you know, the point. And he's originally an acoustic guitar player. Mm-hmm. So this acoustic guitar in the beginning, basically that's my theme that I came up with before I went, because I'm also playing a guitar and some drums and stuff like that. So I play that to him, and, you know, and I said, this is the main theme. You do whatever you want with it, but this is the main theme. And he did amazing stuff with this main theme that's going through the movie. And, you know, it shows up every now and then. And it's called True Hiker, right? This theme. And I love it. It's just, you know, goosebumps goes when you hear it. Nice. And it's really like this acoustic, American acoustic sound. Mm-hmm. I was really trying to capture the essence of this American desert, American, you know, this really Wild West feel. Mm-hmm.
Now, with Why Do I Hike, the first film, getting some criticism for being too positive, and then you setting out to do Why Do I Hike 2, Hardships of a Thru Hike, do you see the two documentaries being kind of a complete picture of thru hiking? Because it's not all highs, it's not all beauty and great things, and it's not all hardships either. I mean, there are moments of just unbelievable beauty out there. So with the two of these together, are they kind of the comprehensive view of thru hiking?
Yeah, I think it is. as much as some movie can bring this kind of adventure, you know, on the screen, you cannot do it. You know, there's no these smells of mountains, the breeze on your face, you know, definitely something is lacking on every movie. But I think this is this series of two is definitely, I think, the closest some documentary, you know, is getting to picture the real stuff. This is like the extreme on the one side, and the first sequel is the extreme on the one, other side. And there is in between, you know, whole a lot of things. But I was imagining the second sequel, the sequel, just the like something that goes with the first sequel. Not that there is one film and it's over. No, you have one and two. And that's the reason why it's called Why Do I Hike 2? So you have to watch the one. And if you watch the one, you will get the reasons why you do this. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Right. But now you will see the bad things about true hikes and how it, things can go really wrong. So, you know, one and another go together. That's that was my basic idea. Because I gave my a movie to some of my friends, some of movie industry people here in Croatia. And, you know, to see, to give me some critique, you know, some feedback. And most of them were like, oh, this is tough, man, to watch. This is no easy, you know, this is, why are you doing this? You know? And I was like, okay, you have to watch this first sequel, definitely. But people in Croatia, those people from industry, they don't know nothing about hiking. This is a movie in the first place for hikers, for hiking community. I am part of hiking community. I believe that I'm part of American hiking community, being a true hiker on several big hiking trails in the United States. On Continental Divide Trail, people are like, oh, this is the guy from Why Do I Hike? You know, so my movie is some kind of a reference. When you go on a true hike, you watch this movie, right? So I was really proud about that. So I became a part of American hiking culture. And this movie is made for them, for American hiking community, first of all. And then for everybody else who can understand it. And that was my intentional goal. I was trying to make like the wide thing, you know, so some guy from Croatia that never leaves town can watch it and say, wow, look at this. It's pretty cool. Maybe I can do it. Yes, but my first intention was true hiking community. They will watch it and they will go like, yeah, I understand this guy. I understand this moment. I understand this speech and this look in his eye. That was me on the trail also. And I think that's something that I will be satisfied with if people, you know, correlate with the movie.
Yeah, Tesla, that had to be so cool being out there on the trail and someone recognizing you and saying, this is the guy from Why Do I Hike? I mean, what a moment. I mean, that had to give you chills.
Yeah, it was this one great moment. I met this hiking couple. They're married, Amanda and Christopher. And, you know, we were seeing each other off and on here and there. And at some point we started to talk and, you know, okay. And they didn't bring it on in the beginning, but later on when we get better, we were, and that was the last time we were hiking together. We hiked into Crete and we went on some restaurant to eat something. And then they told me, like, you know, Amanda, Christopher was saying, like, Amanda, when she saw you for the first time, she was like, this is the guy from that YouTube video, you know, Tesla is his name. And Christopher, he has glasses, and he's like, no. And first time they hit Wi-Fi, they went to search for why do I hike? And she was like, you see, that's him. And he's like, yeah, that's him. That's Tesla. And then you know, and then there was this guy from a Warrior Hike. He was in this, how do you call it, lottery system. He was picked up by Warrior Hike, and he was super happy. He was telling me that. And when he was preparing himself for a true hike, because it's his first big true hike, you know, Continental Divide Trail, not an easy thing. And he told me, my wife and me, we were watching your movie, and we were getting inspired, both of us, you know. So yeah, it was a great feeling, you know, because I know when I was preparing myself for Pacific Crest Trail, my big first through hike, I was watching all the videos, mm-hmm. and it was amazing, you know, to see, to be inspired by something. And then, you know, especially I remember when I was watching these Red Beard videos in 2016, and when I got to the PCT days in Cascade Locks, he was there on ZPEX stand, and I was like, whoa, look at him. And it was like a brother, you know, we were giving each other a hug, you know, oh, come on, man, I was watching your video, it's amazing. So yeah, it's some kind of a special feeling when you see somebody from you know, from YouTube or some other documentaries on the trail, right?
Yeah, I keep waiting for my moment where I'm just walking in the neighborhood somewhere and someone says, oh, that's Doc from the John Freaking Muir Pod.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Hey, I've got a chicken and egg question for you.
Okay.
You've heard the question before. What came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
So yes.
I know how much expectation plays in our experience. If you go out there expecting that you only have to hike 4 miles, and then you find out it's going to be 8 miles, you could have hiked 8 miles, no problem. But because in your mind, you're thinking, okay, it's 4 miles. And now you find out you're only halfway there. I mean, that could be really frustrating, right? So expectation plays a big role in how things work for us in our minds. When you did the first documentary, Why Do I Hike? I believe a lot of that took place on the Colorado Trail, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you have a good time on the Colorado Trail? Was that experience just an awesome experience for you?
Well, when I was hiking Colorado Trail, I carried a lot of video equipment as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a bummer.
Yeah.
And the second thing, I was for the first time in Colorado hiking, mm-hmm. you know, on this, it's completely different weather pattern mm-hmm. than California or Oregon.
Right.
Maybe it's similar to Washington, but not quite. So I was kind of surprised by weather, you know, it hit me by surprise. When you start, it's pretty hot in the beginning, it's low. Mm-hmm. So I was hiking in August, and it was, and then all of a sudden you hit these mountains after Kenosha Pass, I think it was. And then it started to get rainy every day, you know, this afternoon monsoons and stuff like that. Okay. So I was kind of surprised. I was enjoying myself, but at the moment I was lonely and surprised. Yeah, I was.
Okay. All right. So I asked that question because you kind of got some criticism on Why Do I Hike about it being too positive, and didn't show the real side of through hiking. And so my question to you is going to be, okay, now you're going to do the CDT. You've got in your head that you want to do a documentary about the hardships of through hiking. Did that then set an expectation in your mind that this was going to be a difficult hike, and you started looking for the negative things in hiking? And is that why, I mean, did that in some way contribute to the difficulty of your hike? Just going in with this this preconceived notion of, okay, I'm doing a documentary on hardships, and so this is going to be
no.
hard. Okay.
I knew I had like three through hikes before the Continental Divide Trail, and I know it's freaking heavy and tough. No matter how lightweight you are, mm-hmm. it's tough. So I was just going for that tough moment, you know, let's go for it and record it. But I want to have fun also. I want to enjoy myself. I want to meet some good people. I want to experience the nature. I want to experience animals. I want to experience, you know, this time shift when you don't know what's the day of a week, you know, when you're just like, oh, it's Sunday, really? I thought that it's Wednesday, man. And stuff like that, you know. So I was, and I had pretty good time in New Mexico, but it was tough. But I had some tough times in New Mexico, but also a good times, and also in Colorado. But you know, this hardship thing is just never easy, and it's part of true hiking. You cannot go on a true hike with the thought of having fun and period. That's it, right? No. And that's the reason I made hardships of a true hike, because I knew if that was my first true hike, I would never do hardships because I didn't know nothing. But now I know, after 35 days of hiking, something has to happen, man, on the trail. Either weather, or you have some, I don't know, shin splints, or some other pains, blisters, headache, you're cold, you're hot, you know, whatever. And I just need to record it, and it's going to be a good documentary.
Yeah, that's why we say, you know, one of the taglines of the podcast is embrace the suck. I mean, you have to, we talk to a lot of people about the importance of being comfortable, being uncomfortable. I mean, you have to learn to kind of live with that level of discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, discomfort is never easy. And I don't like it. And it's, you know, embrace the suck. It sounds better than what you definitely find on the trail, you know. Embrace the suck. Yeah, it sounds good, right? Yeah. Well, it's not good. It really sucks. And you cannot, that's the worst part. You cannot embrace it. That's my 50 cents about it. You cannot embrace the suck. I mean, it sounds cool, but you cannot embrace it because, I mean, I cannot embrace it. Maybe you can, but I cannot embrace it. When it sucks, I'm down. I don't feel good. And, you know, I just think about getting to the town, eating a burger, you know, getting to some good room, you know, just having a hot shower or whatever. So I cannot embrace it. And I just, you know, I live it through, you know, it sucks. And you have to go through it, and it's going to suck even more. I remember this on Continental Divide Trail. It was Northern Colorado. And I was just beneath in the tree line of Parkview Outlook. Yeah. And it was really bad weather. I was in my tent, and I had some 5G, so I was like looking for a forecast, and I've seen like this weather tomorrow is unbelievably bad, but I don't have any food to stay here, you know, and chill into the tent, and I'm in the dead tree forest. I don't want to chill here and get killed, you know. I have to go. So I was like, okay, the rain starts at 7. I wake up at 5:30, at 6, I go. And I woke up, and it was not raining. So I started to go. And at some point, when I reached, you know, the first ridge, it started to get really windy, and the rain started. And my poncho, rain poncho, just started to kind of flap around, you know, because I didn't tighten it. And my poncho from head, you know, went down, and, you know, I was just making a battle with this poncho, and somehow I made it to the top, and it sucked. And then inside there is Parkview, this little house. So I went in, and there was like two hikers there, and we were like, you know, talking a little bit, and then we continued to hike on. And, you know, this wind was just unbearable. It was so cold, and we were like wet and terrible, terrible time. And you just think, you know, I just need to push this through, and it's going to be better. And that night it was raining heavily, and in the morning when I woke up, it was sunny. It was sunny weather. And I was in this just like some kind of a big ditch, you know, so no sun for me at this point. So I gathered my stuff, I went on. And when I reached the ridge, the sun hit me. And that was moment, you know, it's some kind of a revelation, some kind of a grace that you feel when you feel the warmth of a sun on your face for the first time in, I don't know, 1 week or 5 days. And you're finally warm, you know, and you finally feel the sun. Amazing. And then all this suck that you experienced becomes your victory, you know, and you're like, yeah, it was tough, but I made it. And now I get a reward. And that's a little victory for you that just like carry you on. And, you know, it's a good feeling, and it's great, gratitude school of gratitude, right? You're so happy for the sun, you know. Mm-hmm. We take for granted a lot of things. One of that thing is sun, and then you watch that sun and like, oh man, it feels so good.
Yeah,
just sun, nothing else.
You beat me to the punch there, Tesla. I was going to say, I was going to get philosophical with you and our listeners right now, because I think it goes very well with your why do I hike one and why do I hike two? This complete package, what you just described is the complete package. I think people who walk in the sunlight every single day and don't experience that hardship, they take it for granted. They don't understand what they have. But when you've been through the hard times, when you've been through the suck, and you finally get to that ridge and the sun hits you, comparatively, I mean, just those two extremes, you so greatly appreciate that sunshine even more. And that's what makes the high moments so high, is when you've experienced the low moments, the suck.
Yeah. And that moment is precious.
Yeah.
This is really like moment that changes your perspective on life, on hike, on these challenges, this suck time, right? So it's definitely, you know, moments of grace. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've also broken the record on this episode for the most times we've said the word suck. So it's just every time we say suck now, it just adds to the record. Doing a great job. Okay.
Nice.
Hey, Tesla, tell us, when can we expect to see Why Do I Hike 2, Hardships of a Through Hike, and where can we see it?
Well, first of all, the world premiere is in Croatia, in Zagreb, beginning of February. And I mean, anybody can come. It will be open doors, maybe some fee entrance, but it's going to be in Zagreb. Then I will try, I will send the documentary on some festivals. I need to, you know, I must not publish my documentary on YouTube while my film is on festivals, because most of the festivals will eliminate, you know, my movie because it's publicly, you know, approachable if it's on YouTube and you cannot compete. This festival awards or selections are a really big thing for my movie because it gives me some credibility to the viewer. You know, if you see 3-4 awards, you're likely to watch it. It's likely, more likely to watch it. So definitely a big thing. And I can sell it more easily to some VOD platforms or maybe national television here in Croatia and stuff like that. And once, and of course, I will do some Croatia, maybe Bosnia, Slovenia, you know, some public presentations of the movie. And then once I do all that, it's going to go public on YouTube for everybody to see it. So I guess in a year, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's going to be a tough wait. Okay. We'll be on pins and needles until then. Fantastic. What yeah. is the, I know you've got all this going on, but do you have any future hiking adventures planned?
Well, I would like to go back on CDT and finish it. But in opposite direction. So from Canadian border in Montana all the way back to Wyoming, Colorado border.
Okay.
I would like to do that. Yeah, I would like to do it. another thing is Croatian long distance trail.
That's right.
Again, it's a new trail. Basically, I would like to do it also in an opposite direction from seaside, from the coast all the way to the east of country. I would like to go in Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran. I have a friend there. He lives there and he invited me for a hike in the Iranian wilderness. So I would like to go there. That's some plan in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays, Iran is going pretty radical. So, but my friend says it's not dangerous to go there, at least not being American, right? Yeah. And I don't know. I was planning to do even a Jordan Trail in a Republic of Jordan or Kingdom. I don't know what they are. And yeah, they have a king and queen. So that's interesting trail that I'm looking for. It's the trail that goes in this Petra.
I was going to say, does that go by Petra? That had incredible to see. So
amazing. And I'm a really big fan of desert. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be cool to hike Jordan Trail also. So those are some ideas. Mm-hmm. And I will see. Oh, I will see.
All of that and the film should keep you very busy. So that's great. Full plate.
Yeah.
All right. Tesla, you know where we are right now?
Where?
The pro tip insight of the week.
That's right, yeah. Half Calf. It's the pro tip insight of the week. It's time for Tesla to share some trail wisdom with our listeners. What do you have for us?
Well, I would go with my latest discoveries that I discovered for myself, and that is basically the weight of a backpack. Usually people that don't have lightweight backpacks and have some luxury items, they cannot imagine hiking without them, right? And that was my story with stove and pot. I was like, no way, man. I need my hot ramen in the night. I just need it. But then I tried to hike it without it. And that's my pro tip. Just once, go without your luxury item. Just once. And just feel it. How do you feel? Is it good? No good? Just be open. And maybe you will get rid of some S word that you don't need. Right? So maybe, you know, if you have, I don't know, a big book, you know, I need to read. Well, you don't. So try to go without your book, and maybe you will, you know, figure out that basically you can, you know, watch the stars in the evening. You know, you can listen to the birds. You can watch the sunset or whatever, and keep your mind, you know, occupied by something else that it's beautiful, just as your book or something else, just like my stuff that I just ditched. I said no, and it was good. I felt no problems with my cold soup. It was a bit of, it was just like some kind of a challenge that I'm, you know, killing. Like, oh, this is good. I'm good. I don't have to carry shit. I don't have to boil the water. I just, you know, put this inside. I eat it. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling good. Not a problem. And what's the best thing about this is when you go back to the society in the town, the food tastes even better.
Oh, that's right. Because that's the whole comparative part, right? I mean, that's walking in the low moments, and now you've got warm food.
Yeah. And now, you know, oh, it's not just the tasty food. Now it's the warm, tasty food.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can find the benefit in trying to test yourself by, you know, just once taking your favorite heavy part of the gear out of the backpack and try it.
I hear what you're saying there, Tesla. I want you to come back on for another episode after you've got 1,000 miles under your belt of cold soaking, and tell us what that's like. So
maybe I'll go back, you know.
All right, so there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Tesla. I want to thank him for joining us this week. Tesla, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Well, I have my YouTube channel. It's called Nikola Horvath Tesla. Usually I post, you know, once a month or two times a month, some content. So that's a good place to start. Facebook, Nikola Horvath Tesla, Tesla Creative. That's my page. Instagram, Nikola Horvath Tesla. So whatever, you know, just type Nikola Horvath Tesla and things will pop up in a Google.
Okay. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share with me, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmirror@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
Tesla, I'm also looking for you, to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of adventure media out there that's going to help our listeners stay connected to the trail. I'm just going to go ahead and stipulate that everybody should watch Why Do I Hike? What else besides that great documentary do you have for us? Any recommendations for adventure media?
I just need to find the movie that I was watching the other day. Just a moment.
Sure. Tesla is
okay.
Seriously typing into the Google to find.
Yeah. This, so this the film is called Alone Across the Arctic.
Oh.
Yep. Alone Across the Arctic. I was watching the movie the other day, and it kept me stuck to the, you know, to the screen for I don't know, hour and a half. So it's a good thing the guy going alone across Canadian tundra, mm-hmm. experiencing different kinds of challenges, you know, some bears, wolves, cold weather.
Is it documentary?
It's a documentary. The guy is going with his kayak. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kayaking. But a lot of times he has to carry kayak and all of his stuff across some bridges of tundra. And it's really interesting thing. You can see the real adventure, you know, from the first person perspective. Yeah.
Right. We'll have to check that out. Alone Across the Arctic.
Yes. Good thing. Good stuff.
Okay.
What? What have we not asked you?
And before we wrap things up today, I've got one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss today?
What have we missed? Well, we were like talking about most of issues and stuff I'm going through lately. So, yeah, maybe, I don't know. We covered everything, man.
We covered it all. Okay.
We nice. Covered it all. Yeah.
Check. Very good. All right. Yeah. Well, that good is interview. A wrap. That is, thank you. That is a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, Tesla?
I would like to say hello to my hiking friends and buddies from United States that I was hiking with on Continental Divide Trail. You know, I would like to say thank you to Chris Stiles, Caveman. He was really helpful. He was driving me around and helping me, and Ljubica and Grant from Denver, they helped me a lot. And every other hiker or trail angel I bumped into on the trail, like Nita in Pytown or other trail angels, thank you. And hey,
all right, thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you've been carrying 5 kilos of camera equipment to film your next documentary. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck. Even if Nikola Tesla Horvat doesn't believe in embracing the suck. Embrace the suck.